This is your friend John Walden. Let's look at the 110th Psalm together. Psalm 110 is called a Psalm of David. Now, David wrote many, many of the Psalms, but not all of them. Others were used of the Lord to give us some of these lovely hymns. The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Now, if you're reading from the King James Version, as I am, you probably will notice that the word Lord, the first part of this sentence, is all capitals, while the second word Lord has a capital L, but the rest of the letters are lowercase. That's because the word Lord with capital letters is really Jehovah, the Savior God, the covenant-keeping God, while Lord with a capital L and lowercase letters is really Adonai, or my master. So the Lord said unto my master. Now this psalm is quoted 5 times in the New Testament. All the psalms, for that matter all of the scriptures, speak of Christ. After the Lord Jesus rose from the dead, he told his disciples that all of the scriptures spoke of him, and he untangled their understanding so that they could see him in all of the Old Testament scriptures, in the prophets, in the law of Moses, in the Psalms. All of it speaks of Christ. But there are some Psalms which we call Messianic Psalms. That is, they speak of the Messiah in a special way. And Psalm 110 is one of these lovely Psalms that gives us an Old Testament picture of the Lord Jesus. Who was the Father talking to when he said to the one whom David called my Lord, Sit thou at my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool? Well, the New Testament passages tell us that this was said of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now, our Savior always was, he always lived. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same as in the beginning with God. He had his earthly beginning at his virgin birth some 2,000 years ago or less, when the Lord Jesus was born into this world. But he always existed with the Father, and he appeared to different ones in the Old Testament times. And the Father said to the Son, You sit here at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. And the Lord Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father at this present time, and he's waiting for this day. Now the Lord Jesus himself quoted this verse, and then it was quoted in the book of the Acts, and also in the book of the Hebrews, as being true of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whenever you read the scriptures, my friend, any place in the Bible, look for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, why does the Savior sit down at the right hand of the Father? Well, 4 times in the book of Hebrews, we're told that he sat down because his work was finished. When the Lord Jesus died on the cross, he said, It is finished. In the Old Testament, the priests offered sacrifices continually, and they never were through. They could never say, My work is done, because sin was never put away. But now that the Lord Jesus has put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, he ascended to the right hand of God, triumphant, accepted, and we're told in Ephesians 1 and 6 that we who believe in him are accepted in the Beloved. Now, how long will the Lord Jesus sit there? Well, he will stay there until the Father makes his enemies his footstool. There are plenty of enemies of the Lord Jesus in the world today. I hope you're not one of them. I feel sorry for anybody who sets himself against the Lord, for judgment is coming, and the enemies of God are going to be dealt with summarily. God will handle them very quickly. A short work will he make upon the earth, he says. Now, whether you consider yourself an enemy of the Lord or not, let me tell you, that if you have not been reconciled to Christ, to God, by the death of his Son, Romans 5 and 10, then you are still counted as one of his enemies. You see, you become an enemy by birth as well as by actions. During the Great Wars, certain people were considered as aliens and were even locked up for a while because they were unregistered aliens or because they were considered dangers to the security of this country. In Romans 8 and 7, we're told, the carnal mind is enmity against God and is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So God considers all human beings as born on the wrong side of the fence, as enemies of God until we are reconciled to himself. Now God does not need to be reconciled to us because he is right, but we are wrong, and that's why repentance is called for. He commands all men everywhere to repent and to believe the gospel. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ, Acts 20 says. Now, have you been reconciled to God? Have you put your trust in the Lord Jesus? If you haven't, that's the message of this psalm for you. Verse 2 says, the Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. The rod of his strength undoubtedly is his authority to be king. In Jeremiah 48:17, we're told that Israel's beautiful rod is broken. God put the authority, the right of the kingdom, into Israel's hands. He promised that David's descendants would sit upon the throne forever, but the children of Israel failed. They sinned against God. They lost their authority. They do not have their kingdom now. And one of these days, God is going to take them up again. The Lord Jesus himself is coming. He came the first time as the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world, John 1:29. He's coming back as the Lion of the tribe of Judah to reign, Revelation 5 and 6. So the Lamb who came the first time, gently and kindly, is coming back in the rod of his strength to rule in the midst of his enemies. Don't be one of those enemies, because the Lord Jesus is definitely going to rule. He's going to have the authority, and he's going to judge. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Now all are going to bow the knee to him. Philippians 2:10 says so. Every knee shall bow. Some are going to be forced to do so, but his people are going to be willing. We are already willingly bowing the knee to him, all of us who have trusted him, and we will willingly bow our knee to him when he comes back again. Also he tells us that in the day of his power, it shall be the beauties of holiness, the margin says, more than the womb of the morning, more beautiful than the freshness of a new day. This will be indeed the morning without clouds. 2 Samuel 23:4 talks about, David refers to this time when the Lord Jesus will come back again, and it will be a brand new day, and the freshness of that day will be exceeded only by the freshness of the beauties of the Lord's holiness. Thou hast the dew of thy youth. The Lord Jesus lived on this earth for only 33 and a half years. But our Savior suffered so much. He went into the presence of God. Now when we see him, what shall he be like? Well, the book of Daniel speaks of him having hair as white as snow, because he is truly the eternal God. He is truly the Ancient of Days. But the Song of Solomon, chapter 5 and verse 11, speaks of him as having locks that are black as a raven's, his hair with the blackness of youth. And so the Lord Jesus, who is the great eternal one, will always be the one who is young and fresh to us. And we too can have perpetual youth, because in Psalm 103 and 5 he says, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their youth as the eagles. He satisfies our mouth with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. We're going to have perpetual youth When the bride has been in heaven for 1,000 years, she's still called the bride of Christ. Now we have a solemn promise in verse 4. The Lord has sworn and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. In the Old Testament, Aaron was the priest, but the Aaronic priesthood failed because they were only men. And then the Lord Jesus came after the order of Melchizedek. You can read about him in the 14th of Genesis. He met Abraham, he strengthened him, he blessed him, he revealed God to him, and Abraham was able to meet temptation. And you have a high priest when you receive Christ as your Savior. We're not talking about earthly priests now. All Christians are priests, and there is no other priesthood on earth. But the Lord Jesus is our high priest, and he's there to take care of us. We can come to him daily. We can pray about the things that are on our hearts. And he understands us. He is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Now, he's either going to be your high priest and helper, the one who offered himself as a sacrifice and now offers your praise before God, or else he's going to be your judge in verses 5 and 6. He's even going to strike through kings. He's going to judge the heathen. He's going to wound the heads over many countries. He's going to be the king. He shall drink of the brook in the way. This was the mountain torrent, for our Lord Jesus knew what it was to struggle up steep hills. He had a difficult time here, but that's why he is able to lift up our heads. He is the one who understands us. Unbelievers, listen to me. Beware. The one who would be your Savior and helper may someday be your judge. And those of you who believe in him, why don't you walk with him and be refreshed at the brook, even as he. Our Savior loves us. He's living to intercede for us. Let's thank him. Once again, Lord Jesus, we thank thee that thou hast loved us and died for us, and brought us to the Father. We thank thee now for thy present intercession, living for us, and we thank thee for the day of thy triumph, when thy enemies shall be thy footstool. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen.